Hey guys, welcome to LA Love Creative Podcast. It has been a while.
It's been a long time.
It's me, Tiffy, here, and
Armani.
And there's been a lot of good stuff happening with us, which is why we have been a little bit slow on the podcast, but we're back at it. We're doing it hard. We're doing it real.
Yeah, we're doing it hard. I don't know. Redo. Hey guys. Hey guys.
Do you really want me to redo it?
No,
I'm sorry. First off, can I also let you guys know that it's late night?
Oh, it's late.
My brother is sipping on a drink right now.
Yep. This is Friday.
He has made me no drink. Oh. But yeah, that's what's going on. So, bro, intro them. Tell the people.
Oh, let's break this down. It's Friday night, and I am sitting in a hot ass room with my sister and two mics and a drink.
Yes.
And doing a podcast.
Yes.
About being outside the house.
About having living your best life outside the house. But on a Friday night, he hangs out with his sister doing podcasts.
Yeah, this is what we do.
So,
welcome to it.
Do you want to update the people on what we've been doing, or do you want me to update the people on what we've been doing? Okay, let me start. Do you want to start? This is horrible.
No.
So basically, the reason
like
that.
I feel like we do the same thing all the time.
Let me talk, and then I'll let you talk.
You tell me what
talker. So basically, last month, September, we were doing a lot of work because we had my brother going out of the country for some work. So we had to do all the work here in Los Angeles before he traveled outside of the country to do work, which is really, really cool. Fortunately, I didn't get to go on the cool international trip, but I had my own trip to do. So that's what you have to do when you're in business. You split up when you need to split up. So I went to Seattle and he went to Japan.
Sorry if you hear any technical difficulties. My mic.
Do you want to start over?
My mic is like.
Are you sure you don't want to start over?
No, I don't want to start over. We're going to keep that in the podcast. You sure we don't suck?
We do, but. My brother went to Japan.
I went to Japan and China. So I recently was talking to a client. We were talking to a brand, Live Art Love, and they wanted a lookbook. They wanted us to shoot some photography. And they were pretty cool. I can't talk about the client, but they were really cool in the sense that it was more of a, you come to Japan and we kind of just want to trust your vision. You do your own thing. We have the models, we have the clothes, and we'll do some video, we'll do some, you know, photography, and just have a good time. And I felt like that was a perfect excuse to get like a little vacation going. So I knew that they were already gonna like fly me out to do this, and I felt like, okay, let me get my girlfriend to fly out, you know, later on.
You mean personal assistant, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, she's always my personal assistant, but she gets no money. She gets paid in love.
She took my spot.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go.
Yeah, and she just was like, okay, I'm going to fly out there while you're out there and just working. And it worked out really well. And it was cool because it gave me a lot of insight on, because we've traveled a lot for filmmaking. And then, like, you did some work in Europe, you know, a while back, you know, filmmaking, photography. But I feel like Asia is still, like, you know, it's a new thing when you're trying to work and shoot in a country you've never been in, ever. You know?
I will say this too. I don't care who the person is. Whenever you get the opportunity to travel internationally for work, you are very, very excited, and it is always brand new. Like, it's not something that just comes knocking at your door every month.
You just have to jump at it.
But it will come knocking at your door if you're like looking for that kind of work, which is cool. But you just jump at the chance to do it. So yeah, I did stuff in Europe, but it had been a while since international travel for work. But I'm glad that you got that opportunity.
If you're a filmmaker, you travel to New York, San Francisco, Seattle, maybe.
We did work in Denver.
Denver, okay, Colorado. If you're creative, Austin, Texas.
Yeah, every place that's kind of creative,
Portland.
But you find yourself more in like LA, New York, LA, New York.
Yeah,
LA, just go New back York, and San forth. Francisco, like California, New York.
Yeah, we're in San Francisco a lot, filming in San Francisco, and then LA, and then New York, and then when we have an international client, they as soon as they're like, hey, we want you to do, we're like, yeah, okay, we're coming. We're already out on the, we're on the airport.
Yeah, we're there right now.
We're already there. We already just flew out. Yeah. Even though we didn't even get the job. We just flew out.
We just came to hang out with
we
you.
We just came out to hang out with you. Now you have no choice but to book us.
Exactly.
But yeah, I had the pleasure to shoot some stuff in Japan. And while I'm out there, it's kind of like a balance because like the stuff while I was actually shooting only took maybe 2 or 3 days. And then we stayed there for 11 days. So, we travel for 11 days. So it's kind of like a fun balance because you get to work, you get to be creative, but then the creativity doesn't stop because you're out there and you're like, hey, this is a good time for me to pick up my camera and do some travel stuff, you know? So it's
because everyone that's international wants to pick up their camera and do travel stuff because we see that everyone that does travel stuff and we're like, can this just be our life?
Yeah, can it just be my life? So, like, yeah, if I'm in Japan, I'm like, oh, okay, let me do a vlog of this because I am always in LA.
You got to do it for the gram.
Yeah. You got to do it for the gram. So I had the chance to do that. And that's kind of interesting, too, because you're going from working. Then, you know, your significant other or your friend or whoever you travel with is like, oh, right, now let's do some vacation. And you're like, but I'm going to bring my gimbal and my drone. And this and this, and then you just have to balance, you know, getting cool shots and also having a good time and kind of relaxing.
This is a good question.
Yeah.
This is advice because most people aren't all hanging out with a banging group of YouTubers or all Instagram models or whatever. A lot of people that want to start out being international vloggers or whatever, they usually just have their boyfriend or girlfriend or friend. And those are usually normal ass people.
Yeah.
Like they are at the moment. So how do you think, what's some advice or like how, I think I have some tips too that might work, but what's some advice to give those people? Because it's hard to separate yourself from vacation mode and also interrupt, like pull out a camera when you're with your boyfriend or your best friend and be like, I gotta film this real quick. Can you get a shot of me looking like serious?
I have a few tips. One tip is pull out your camera, establishing shots, and think of it this way, establishing shots and shots that are actually in the mix. We'll just say like shots that are in the mix. So a great example would be if you're in front of a cool statue, take a shot in front of the cool statue. And then when you go inside the building or whatever, take a little bit of, you know, footage in the building and then put your camera away. Try to figure it out like, okay, I need to do one and two and then one and two. Okay, I'm done. So the reason why I say that is you only need 15 seconds of something, 15 seconds of another thing. Because for the most part, your video is going to be 3 minutes, 4 minutes or whatever. So all your shots, I say 15, 10 seconds count. Just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And when you do that, it just ensures that you get the clip and then you're not wasting a lot of time with your friend or whatever, you know, who you're traveling with, just trying to film. You know, you're on the floor and now you're in the corner. Now you're trying to do some other technique. It's like, okay, just get the shot count and then just move on.
So basically, how do you decide what is going to be filmed like that? Because when you're traveling, and I know this from experience, I think I'm like, should I be getting this? Should I be getting this? Should I be getting this? And so I want to know, like, what makes you think, okay, this is what I need to get. This, like, this location is what I want to get, or this restaurant or this bar, versus stopping every 2 seconds to be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You
so know what I mean? I think with that, what I would say, because I think about that too, I'm like, there's two things you need to remember. One is, if it's not a actual paid gig, it's a vacation. Two, your video is going to look pretty cool regardless. And what I mean by that is it might not be on some cold level, you know, like Cold's a famous YouTuber. It might not be on a level where you're just like, wow, this is amazing footage and everything's so cinematic, but it's going to look pretty cool regardless because you've never been to the place. The footage is never going to look like anything that's, you know, close to home. So just whatever you film is going to work out in the editing room because you have no choice but to make it work in the editing room. So I would say my advice when you're doing traveling footage or traveling videography or photography, try to get the shot. And if you miss a shot or if you miss this and missing that, you know, just know that it's going to work out in the end.
So how do you, here's another good question, because most of these people will be traveling with normal ass people. We'll call them normies. I feel like that's from something. That's from something. Probably, I don't know. From a documentary, maybe. Enormous. I don't know. But how do they, what is the best approach to handing a person that is not a photographer or videographer a camera and having them capture you, whether for the Instagram picture or for your vlog? At some point, you have to let them hold the camera and be like, get me walking and looking deep. How can you best explain that to them so it's not some like 20-minute conversation or awkward or the footage looks like crap?
For one, we're working on it. Let's be real here. What's good though is like, okay, so here comes some gender stuff. I find when you give a camera to a girl, they have a better idea of how you should look than if you give a camera to a guy who's not actually a photographer. He's not a photographer or a videographer or whatever. You give a camera to a dude and he takes a picture of you and you're his girlfriend, he's going to be like, yeah, you look good. Yeah, you look good. Girls will be like, no, tuck your stomach in. Oh, especially my girlfriend. She will be like, your double chin, your belly. Turn to the right. No, no, don't look at me. Look away. Like, she gives me direction. I'm like, okay, you know how to take a picture of me. You know how to take a video of me. But it works out because I feel like women, like, take so many photos of their friends or just, like, themselves. I don't know why we are just, when you give a camera to a dude who's not a photographer, they just look at you like, and they take one photo.
Oh yeah. My God.
They go, here you go.
The one photo, like.
And you're like.
This is just an issue.
Like, I'm all this trying, work, all this work, but, and you took one photo. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think one tip, it would be just whatever they do, just work with it.
Here's a really cool thing I read. I read a lot of travel vlogs and stuff because travel's life, but. That is not the name of a vlog. That's just me saying that. I found a girl, and in her vlog, she was a solo traveler. But she had all these really dope pictures of herself in all these different locations. And people were like, how do you capture these pictures of yourself if you're a solo traveler? There's two things that she said she did. One was wake up earlier than anybody when the streets are empty, set up a tripod, and take her own pictures. But another tip that she gave was that she will... In a crowded touristy place, she maps out her pose first. So she's like, okay, I want to take a picture in front of this fountain. I'm going to do this walking pose and I'm going to look to the left. Like, she already knows what her pose is going to be. Then she finds a tourist that already has a DSLR. Oh my God. I had a dyslexic moment. I'm
okay.
So
it's
sorry,
late.
You guys.
It's late, y'all.
I'm a little dyslexic sometimes, but
sometimes
DSLR. What?
A professional camera.
Oh my God, I'm a photographer. And I'm like...
DSLR.
Okay, but anyway, find someone that has a professional camera around their neck and you ask them to take the picture of you.
Because if they take...
And not with their camera. She just knows that handing her camera off to someone that already has a similar...
It's clever.
High quality smart. Camera, that person is going to catch the shot. Mm-hmm, and she smart. Always does that. And that is how she gets her shot. So that is my tip. If you're a solo traveler, or if you were just a person, you're like, I don't know if I want to give the camera to my boyfriend right now to take a picture. I don't know. If you want someone to capture a good picture of you and your friend or your boyfriend or whatever, girlfriend, find that person that already has the professional camera in the travel destination because they will probably get the best shot for you.
Yeah, and I think another good tip would be the waking up early one is genius. I will say the self timer actually can work really well. They have a Gorilla Pod. It's the tripod that every vlogger uses. I don't like the Gorilla Pods. I'm just going to be real. I'm not a big fan of them. They just look like too much. Like, when I mess around with them, I'm like, this is too much to handle. They're the tripods that, like, bend, and they have, like, the little
feet,
and they're, like, they look like...
They look like a cheap 90s thing, almost.
Yeah, it's like a cheap 90s
thing. They'll, like, walk around. They're, like, beep,
I feel
beep,
like
beep.
It's going to walk. Like, yeah. it just feels weird. And it looks like three little legs, yeah. And you just can't put them together, and you feel like
it
you
actually
never...
looks like a toy that was like made in the 90s to be like your pet, and then someone
and then
made it
like,
a tripod.
Hey,
like, oh, yes, that is what that's for.
I hate those tripods.
They're
but they
pretty
work,
ugly.
They work really well, and one cool thing about those is you can like clip them to things. So if you don't have a tripod, you could technically clip that to something and do a self photo. I personally hate those tripods, but those would really work. Another tip would be, everyone hates this one though, is the asking the stranger one though, just like you said, is a good tip.
It's hard, I know.
But I would say it's like the most annoying thing, just in general.
Do you mean as a stranger?
Because I don't know me. I don't always want to talk to people.
I know that, but there's never...
I was in China recently, and everyone's looking at me like, look at these Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go up to them and you go, hey, can you take a photo of me? And they look at you like...
Yeah, but you're not picking... You're picking another person that is also a tourist that has a camera around their neck.
I know.
Like, you're not picking someone that's like, I'm working.
What would be a tip if you don't want to bother people? What's a tip to, you know, tell a person who's never held a camera how to take a good picture of you?
I think you would take from that girl what that girl says. You need to know the pose that you need to get so that there is no just, here, take my picture. It's here, stand here. I'm going to stand under that tree. Get the tree to the left of me. I'm going to walk. You take three pictures.
Yeah, so you just
or
basically...
count down and snap when I walk. Then, yeah. Or you have to know your pose at that point. You can't just expect them to direct you or get the composition that you want. You're going to have to tell them. And then over time, if they are your boyfriend or girlfriend, they'll learn because they'll get used to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's all that, you know... Just think of it this way. How many people have had, like, the boyfriend or girlfriend that you hand them the camera and they take one picture, but then you're like, oh, take more than one picture. Then as time goes, they just automatically start taking more than one picture.
Most of these vloggers are
a great example. It's just a matter of that. On that topic, which I still do want, I know we got one off topic of, like, all these, like, camera tricks and stuff like that. But a cool thing, if you are going to travel, and my brother's going to get more into the equipment that you can take to travel and travel light. But I will say, if you're like, I don't have a camera, I don't want to do that, but I do want to get cool shots or cool video while I'm traveling. When I was in Thailand, my brother got a lot of good footage. We went to Thailand this year. And if you set your iPhone to 4K,
oh yeah,
keep a steady hand, you can get footage that is very, very vlog worthy.
Yeah, definitely usable. I think what you need to do, though, is to take it another step further. There's an app called Filmic Pro. Filmic Pro is the app they used on the movie Tangerine. So the movie Tangerine, the movie that I think won Sundance.
I saw it. It was a good movie. Yeah,
you saw it. Awesome movie. And they used the iPhone to film that movie. And a lot of people are like, how did that work? I'm like, well, they use this app called Filmic Pro. And I know that the iPhone's probably not the best phone to film movies with. But if you're going to actually shoot movies or vlogs or something like that, Filmic Pro is a good app because it gives you a little bit more functionality of what you want to do when it comes to exposure, focus, even settings. It does a lot more than just the iPhone camera will do for you. So you can just switch your phone to 4K, or you can download this app for like $5-6 and you can really take your videos to the next level. And I feel in this day and age, yes, you can buy the A7 III. That's what I used when I traveled. A6500, A6300, those Sony cameras are great. But a lot of times when you're hot, because it was raining in Japan for a little bit, but it was also still hot. So it was humid and raining. So you have your Xeon crane or whatever. You have your A7 III. You have your Tamron lens. It's a zoom lens, so it's sticking out. And you have your microphone on top. And then you might even have a monitor. And then you have all this equipment, and you're standing in the rain, and you still have to hold an umbrella. And you're just sitting there kind of like, I have so much stuff with me, right?
Yeah.
So I find if you can figure out a way to film with your iPhone, there was a lot of times where I was like, damn, I just wish I just filmed this with my iPhone. Because it's just for my YouTube. It's just like, aside from the client work, it's just for my YouTube. It's just for personal use. Yes, I want the best quality. Obviously, I'm a camera nerd. But a lot of times, iPhone is the best phone. I mean, the best camera for your shot. Because it's there. And it's easy. And you pull it out and you're like, oh, got it. As opposed to, let me pop my camera bag on the floor and disrupt traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's walking by because there's 14 million
people
in Japan.
And we know that's never smooth or easy or fun
never.
To do.
Let me just throw my bag on the floor, then let me set up the crane and then balance it. Like, a lot of times your iPhone's going to be the best move. So I'd say if you're traveling and you're doing vlogs, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on crazy camera equipment, or you have the crazy camera equipment and you don't want to bring it, because I struggled, should I bring this, should I bring that, I would say the iPhone's a good move.
And also remember that a lot of the people that, I mean, have all these crazy followings that you love, I'm talking about YouTube now, they a lot of the times now can afford someone to just follow them around with a camera. Or they someone pay, like a bro, one of their bros on their team is in charge of the camera, and they get the free trip to film them all. So don't beat yourself up too much that you can't get these amazing shoots done for your YouTube or your travel vlog. You'll get there. Do what you can, you know, and still enjoy your trip. We're not trying to stress you out. You're like lugging,
I will
you know?
Say when I, so one of the biggest things that helped me out was, I have a, well, we have, I'm like, why do I say hi?
You, it's yours.
Because it's mine. I want everything. So I have a Phantom 4 Pro drone. I have a big drone. It's probably not the biggest drone you can get out from DJI.
Oh, who's having their moment
now? Oh my God. This is probably because it's late. Okay, okay. From DJI. DJI.
DSLR?
Who knows? Okay, we've never filmed anything. We don't know any of the stuff.
Surprise, guys.
Surprise,
we're
guys.
Posers.
We're two homeless people.
Wait, a podcast?
What a camera is. What is it? So I have a big Phantom 4 Pro drone. And I contemplated, should I bring it? Should I, you know, should I bring it on this trip? Because even though I was shooting, you know, a lookbook, I was shooting video for this client, there was no drone shots that they needed or wanted or anything. So I was like, and in Tokyo, if you're going to fly a drone, you have to leave Tokyo. You have to, like, go far, far away to actually fly a drone, like, way out of the city. So a drone wasn't actually functional. So I was thinking, man, what should I do? So I actually ended up buying the Mavic Air. It's probably not the best drone out there. I know the Mavic 2 just came out, but it's really small. And I now that I've, you know, traveled to Japan and I actually shot out there, I would say everything needs to be small, because you are just a lot of times in very cramped spaces and you have a big camera bag. Just try to keep things as small as possible. You're moving, you're running, gunning.
Bare minimum.
Like, even though I love the fact that I bought the crane too, I brought the Zion crane too or whatever with me, and the shots are amazing.
They are.
They are way better than just handheld or whatever.
But saw my shaky stuff.
Yeah. When you're holding a camera with a camera strap, you're going to be shaky. Like, you're shaking the whole time.
You're especially shaking, though, when you're with people that aren't filmmaker photographers and you have to make the choice, do I film this
or
do I lose the whole group and fall behind?
Yeah, I'm trying to do like a little behind the scenes or
so
something.
So it's like so difficult.
It's like, okay, let me get it. And do you ever feel like you're more shaky than you ever have ever been in life when you're holding a camera?
Yes.
So like,
I'm like, what is wrong with me? Do I need to go to a doctor?
Put my hand up. I'm like, I'm not shaking. As soon as I grab a camera, it's just like freaking.
It was like, was there an earthquake while you were?
Your hands are just shaking. And then you try to focus, and you're just like, the whole shot is shaking. You're like, damn. So I will say that the crane really helped, but I contemplated. I was like, should I bring this? And I eventually am glad I brought it, but then a part of me still is just like, man, I really didn't want. Because it made things heavy. It just makes everything heavy. I brought one lens. I brought the Tamron 28-75. That lens is a killer lens. Oh, I'm sorry. I brought two lenses. I brought the Tamron 28-75, and I brought the 16-55 Sony, which is like the smallest lens ever. I love that lens. It is a non-professional lens. I am fully aware of that. But it is so small, and sometimes you're like, yes. You want something small. It's the same lens that we have on the Sony A6300. It's small. You're like, I don't want to walk around with a big giant lens. I just sometimes want to get in the corner and shoot something, you know, without bringing so much attention to myself. Sorry, that drink that I drank is getting to me. I will say that, when you're traveling, just really be mindful. Really just prioritize and say, hey, do I need this? Do I not need this? I didn't need the drone. I didn't need the crane either. I brought it just because I knew I was in Japan. I wanted extra footage. But
I have a question.
Just be mindful of that.
Knowing everything that you know now about your trip, would you take the exact same amount of equipment?
No.
Even though you saw the footage with the drone?
I would bring the drone.
Crane?
I'd bring the little drone because there's no place to really film it in in Japan unless you go way outside of, you know, populated areas.
So would you have done that again?
I would, because it's very small. The drone is like,
okay,
it's a very small setup.
I've
but
seen you.
The crane itself is heavier, so I wouldn't bring the crane. I would just bring the Sony A7 III and the Tamron. And I also, you know, I didn't bring a laptop. I didn't bring any hard drives or anything. I know this is very unprofessional, but I knew that if I brought hard drives, I had to bring a laptop.
And for the client, you dumped on their stuff anyway.
Yeah, I dumped all of the memory cards onto their stuff. But usually we like to have backups. But I was like, okay, they have the stuff. They said it's cool. I don't want to bring my laptop. So what I actually brought was my little iPad. I have an iPad Pro. It's not little, but it, you know, I didn't want anything too big so I could, you know, check emails. I could go back and forth with clients in Japan with that without having to bring my big laptop. And just, you want to keep things small. That's my only, if you listening to this podcast, if you're traveling and you're doing videography work, yes, you got the big lenses. Yes, you have maybe 5, 6, 7 lenses. Maybe you have a big grain. Maybe you have the new Ronin S. Maybe you have a Movi. Maybe you have all this equipment, and you want to just test it out in Greece. You want to test it out in Europe. My advice for you is just bring a camera and maybe one zoom lens. Because there's going to be a time where you are battling to get through your equipment in the bag, or your bag is so heavy, you're going to go, why'd I bring all this stuff?
Why'd I do this?
I swear, there's going to be, and it could just be the moment when you get to the airport and your bag is so heavy.
Or you have to go through security.
Yeah, I had to go through security and I had to pull out everything from every lens to every, you know.
Really?
Camera, battery, everything. So when you fly with this stuff, my advice is never check anything that's, you know, high-end equipment. You can check like a light stand or something like that. Who cares about that stuff? You can always replace that. But your cameras, batteries, memory cards, laptops, chargers, all that, drone, all that should be on the plane with you. You know, your carry-on. So that's annoying.
So the point of that is,
and it's heavy,
that's annoying,
and you're gonna stand in line at the TSA for 2 hours maybe, and you have your crane and your drone and your 5, 8 lenses and all that in your bag. And yeah, it fit in your bag. Yeah, these camera bags can fit everything because they
but nothing is as fun as taking all of it out so TSA can look at
pull it
and make
out.
Sure it doesn't have drugs smuggling
yeah
in
make
wind.
Sure it's not drugs or a type of bomb or something, and then you have to explain everything. It's just a lot. So I would say, just if you can keep everything as minimalistic. We don't like minimalist.
No, it's here. Fine here.
I'm not a big fan of minimalism, but
you just
it's
called it something. Had you just said minimalistic, it would have been fine. But you made it a thing just
I'm
now.
I'm not a
so
big fan of minimalism.
Job.
I just so you don't like a lot of stuff. Okay, cool. But I will say that if you can keep it minimalist. Is that okay?
I don't even know if that's correct grammar.
I don't
that's
know.
My real issue.
I don't know either. Okay, if you can keep it as small as possible, try your best to do that. That's it. And that's pretty much it for today's video.
No, it's not. Podcast. It's not it. It's not it. For
We're not
today's
done?
Video. No.
You want
because
more stuff?
Because on top of that, before we sign off, we need to know, what are the like top things that you loved about Japan? Because we didn't talk about that. And China.
Oh, man.
And if you want to go back and your dreams and aspirations for Japan and stuff, but just give us a little taste of that and what is up next on your travel plans.
I will say Japan is never gonna not be part of my travel plans.
Never gonna not be. Why did you
I
say it
know.
Like that?
Okay.
Starting off strong over here.
Japan is always gonna be part of mine, you know, my girlfriend, our travel plans. We love Japan. It's got an atmosphere and a vibe that's, everyone's super nice. Like, I'm very sure there's a few jerks out there, but everyone's really nice. And there's just like a, I don't know, it's just, you just feel very at home. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. It just felt similar to the States, but almost like the States if it was better. Now, I know there's probably a lot of problems with Japan. I know that their suicide rate is high. Like, there's a lot of issues with that culture, I'm very sure. But from an outsider perspective, it felt surreal. It's a great country. It's a great country to work in. I would say, like, if you're, you know, trying to do creative work out there, you are the least creative person out there. Like, even though we, you know, people are, you know, they paid me to shoot stuff for them, I'm like, wow, you guys are on another level when it comes to creativity. I'm like, wow, everything I do, I feel is basic compared to what Tokyo is doing and, you know, that whole movement. So I will say that if you have a chance to just go to Tokyo or go to Japan and just any part of Japan, that's cool. If you have a chance to work out there, that's even better. But you're definitely not going to be disappointed.
Awesome. And you have footage coming out soon.
Yeah, we'll put it in a video. We'll make it work for, you know, Live Art Love and for YouTube. Cool. I don't know if I can really, I can't showcase like any of the stuff I shot. So everything that
you mean
we,
for the client?
Yeah, for the client. So anything you see for the YouTube is going to be like just me and my girlfriend. Exciting
okay.
stuff. Me,
but I
my
mean,
face.
Isn't that the dream for everybody? Is yeah. just to kind of transition into travel influencers yeah. and leave any other life behind.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Just
but,
leave your life behind.
That's pretty much it for this episode. Make sure that you follow my brother on Instagram if you'd like to see some of those really cool shots from Japan. Actually, I'm gonna make him put them on our business Instagram as well. That's in the reminder for myself. He is at arms1987 on Instagram, and our handle...
Just to let you know, I'm 31 years old.
Shut up. You better cut that out.
1987?
Why else? You might just like that year.
Oh, I love that year.
You might like that number.
Such a good year. I never lived through that year, but I heard good things about it.
Yo, man. Anyway, so... and then at Live Art Love is our company's Instagram if you want to check it out. And that's pretty much it. Make sure to check out the description to follow us everywhere else that you might want to and your heart desires. And we will be coming to your ear next time. No?
See you later.
Bye, guys.
See ya.